Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle Young
with For His Glory Ministry. We want to welcome you to our ministry, which is For His Glory, in which we study the Bible through Hebrew eyes and learn the deeper things of God. All right? Today we're going to be studying a very, very important topic, and we call it
Learning How to Learn.
Very good. Come and see. Now, this is not often taught and practiced. If we don't know how to learn, how do we learn? Often poorly. Material is not often relative to our lives or well related to other material we just learned. We have bits and pieces of information just streaming through our minds and often a non-comprehensive, a non-cohesive, or disjointed matter. We memorize so much not to learn, but to take tests that often don't even test us. Establish that information deeply within us. Thus we forget it, with greater and greater evidence to that over the years as we become good at not learning. Okay? And so much so that we forget years of material that we spent years to learn. Sometimes something we have to recognize, people, is very wrong with that picture. We need help. We need a plan. And we have one, thank God. All right? Now, first, Scripture teaches us that the Bible gives us the accounts of people just like us, for whom the things that happened to them serve as examples for us and were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Your reference is 1 Corinthians 10:11. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Then in 2 Peter 1:3, that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we are taught that the Lord's divine power has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Say the knowledge of Him.
The knowledge of Him.
Perfect. Thank you, Danielle. Who called us by His own glory and virtue. Remember, He has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So remember, we are to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God. Workers who need not be ashamed, who must be rightly dividing the word of truth. That's in 2 Timothy 2:15. Yes, Danielle.
I have a feeling we should have our pen and paper ready for this teaching.
God, you're right. I would suggest for everyone have your Bible, a pen and paper ready. And I also want you to know all these shows are being taped. So don't feel overwhelmed. Just feel well taught. It's our goal to teach you and to feed you and present it to you. And we care about you. We're taping these. These things will be available through our ministry, through our website, which we'll share with you those addresses at the end of the show. We want you to learn, and we want you to learn greatly. It's a goal of teaching to cause you to learn, and that's our job, and we do it gladly, and it's a privilege to serve you.
We understand that there's sometimes a lot of information to understanding these teachings, but you can go to the website and get the fuller teaching.
Now the meat. Let's find where the beef is, all right? Now, let's talk about procedures. You have 15 steps. Don't worry, that's only one step 15 times, all right? So don't be overwhelmed by it, people, please, all right? When you have a big book, you just have to read one page at a time, all right? Often we're overwhelmed by big books. They're the same as small books, but just more pages, okay? So we have to do a little mindset resetting, all right? Now, study these 15 steps every time you read, study the sacred word of God. Step number one, you need to be a believer. For only one who has made peace with God can spiritually judge all things. 1 Corinthians 2:15, you have the Holy Spirit who's going to help you. So you have one, you need to be a believer. Two, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all the truth. John 14:26, ask. You don't have because you don't ask. You have to ask right. So one, be a believer. Two, ask. Exactly. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all the truth. Three, the correct understanding of the text must evidence the divine author in His divine nature and His perfect character. Danielle, what have you told me so many times that's helped you in your studies about the Bible, that you look to see the Bible through the character
of God?
How did that help you to
know? You can see the Bible much clearer. If you know His character, then you'll know what seems to be right.
Because you can understand it through who He is, what He does. Right?
Right.
Often we judge actions without understanding who is performing them and the reasons why in their heart and mind. God wants us to know Him and to understand Him. Your reference for that is clearly in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 4, and it says, God is a speaker, the Lord God. And He says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the mighty man of his might, or the rich man of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that I am the Lord God who exercises loyal love, loving kindness, chesed, justice or judgment, mishpat, and righteousness, tzedakah, on the earth, for I delight in these things, Ne'um Yahweh, declares the Lord. All right? So one, be a believer. Two, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all the truth. This before you even read the text. Three, look for, as you're reading, to understand the character of God in what you're reading. Look to understand His nature, His essence, His identity. Those are the first ones. Next, what we call a six-in-one. There are six questions you need to ask every time you read the text, and we'll do the one in a moment, being the seventh. What are your six questions? You got five W's and one H. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Who are the people here? What's going on? Why did this happen? Where is the event occurring? Tell me, who, what, when, where, why, and how. How did this come to pass? So when I ask the text and the author of the text those questions, I will derive a whole set of information that I need to properly interpret it. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Unless you know who's involved, you may be reading a text and applying it to somebody else. Is God the speaker? Is it Satan speaking? Is it man? Is it an angel? Is it somebody who's afraid? What is the state of the person once you know who's speaking? And you have to ask that every time you read. Your faith and text will take you down in the depth and to the height. It'll give you the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. Is that making sense so far?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we have what? Be a believer. Two, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all the truth. Three, what is the nature of my God? What is His character? He's perfect, people. He's good. He's holy. He's righteous. He's pure. He's lovely. He's God. He's Lord. He's King. He's Redeemer. He's the first. He's the last. He is God. He is Lord. Get to know who He is. Study the over 700 attributive names of God. That's right. Over 700. Don't just memorize them. Know them. Become intimately acquainted with who He is. You'll know ever better what He does. And you'll find out who we are in Him. All right? So we have the next. I said six and one. What is that seventh one? That is Yeshua. How does this text then demonstrate Yeshua here? Since it's all written about Him, it's all for Him, about Him, and it tells us about our relationship to Him, or if we moved out of relationship to Him, or those not in relationship to Him. Because the Bible will reveal God, and then it'll show us in relationship to God, us when we've fallen out of relationship properly with God in the course of our covenant walk, if we may have strayed, and also show us who we are without God, meaning the people who don't know God yet. And the difference between those two is astounding. Now we come to four levels of Hebrew study. All right, and these all apply to what? Every time you read the Bible and study it. We call it Pashat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. Now, those are Hebrew, and we'll spell it, and then we'll tell you what it means. Pashat is P-A-S-H-A-T. That's the plain reading of the text. By the way, people, you're doing that all the time anyway, so don't let the Hebrew scare you, all right? It's sacred. Let it enlighten you. It's the plain reading of the text. And there's a good rule to apply to that. It says, when a plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense, but take every word at its primary, ordinary, and usual literal meaning. Unless the facts of the immediate context, studied in the light of certain axiomatic and fundamental truths, clearly indicate otherwise. That's a mouthful, but it says a lot. So just read it, see what it means, and take everything just as if you're reading the paper, but in a sense, you just read it, okay? Pashat. That is the first thing, so as a believer, that's what you read. Your second step in Jewish studies is remez, R-E-M-E-Z, R-E-M-E-Z, remez. It means hint, allusion. In the street or slang, we go, psst, psst, hey, you know, we're telling them something else or alluding to something. This is where your concordance comes in, people. You get a Strong's concordance or any exhaustive concordance, and you would look up everything. Let's say God is speaking about love, right? What would you do? You would study from Genesis to where, Danielle?
Revelation.
All the way, right? The whole Bible to study everything about?
Love.
Exactly, if you're studying love. Good. Why? Because you want to know everything God has to say about love. That should be obvious. Anyone that loves God should want to know everything about everything that he has to say about anything. All right? We should also want to know everything about everything that he says about everything. All right? He happens to expect that. So remez, hint or allusion, will tell you everything about that topic. One of the problems we often have in our studies is we read 2-3 verses and then maybe 200 about it. I don't know how much you will learn. There's no question you'll learn a lot, because the Bible is the Word of God, and one verse could save your life, save a city, save a nation, heal a child, set a prisoner free, all right? But what would it be if you used the whole Bible in a holy way from a holy God that honored God, helped people, healed people, and honored your God in what you did? Now we would reach the stratosphere, if you will. We would touch heaven and bring heaven to earth, which is one of the goals that God taught us in the disciples' prayer in Matthew 6. That's in Matthew 6, 9-13. Let's do the first part together, Danielle. That's the Our Father. All right? Now listen carefully, people, to when we stop about heaven, all right? The kingdom of heaven.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Thank you. Perfect. So on earth as it will be in heaven?
Is in heaven.
On earth as it was in heaven?
Is in heaven.
And on earth as it
is
in heaven. So where does it start?
In heaven.
And where is it supposed to end up?
Here with us on earth.
Exactly. So the goal is to bring the kingdom of heaven to
earth,
here and now. Amen. Perfect. Good. So remez will help us understand the hint or allusion as we go to and fro. Now, have you heard that expression, Danielle, about going to and fro before?
All the time.
Yeah. How has that been used when
you've
heard
it? Well, right now we think it means flying, because now we can fly. So we go from country to country,
right,
to and fro.
Right.
That's the way I've heard it explained.
Right. Now, that's in Daniel chapter 12, 4. That's common, and I would grant that by extension, but that is not what it would have meant to Daniel. In the mindset of the Jews, from knowledge will increase, it says, many will go to and fro, and knowledge will increase, all right, within the verse of Daniel 12, verse 4, chapter 12, verse 4. Going to and fro is a normal Hebrew method of study, all right? That means going to and fro in the
Bible.
Ah, perfect. Going to and fro, back and forth in the Bible, which is what you're doing at this stage called remez, hint or allusion. Pashat is the literal plain text reading. Remez is the hint or allusion. Next step, 3, drash. That's D, like in David, D apostrophe R-A-S-H. That is your application to life, drash. This is drash, D apostrophe R-A-S-H. This is how you walk your talk, all right, everybody? How do I use this? As a dear friend of the ministry has said, life application, okay? Life application, how does this apply to my life? Well, that has already been answered, and we need to study it that way. So, as we have done in other series, and we look to share with you, how do I use this in my life? Because God wants you to be able to use it in very practical, prayerful manners, all right? So we have, then let's go through what we have so far. Let's just review the names. The first one is what? All right, be a believer. So number 2, you can then ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all the truth. 3, your God.
Know the character of
exactly.
Our God.
What's his character? He's good, he's holy, he's righteous, he's perfect, he doesn't change. The next step, all right, we have be a believer. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all the truth. 3, knowing the divine character, the author. All right. And then we have the 6 and 1. All right. The 6 questions are the 5 W's and a 1 H.
Who, what, where.
That's fine. You can go where, then when, why, as long as you get them all.
Yes.
And then what's the H? How. All right.
Why and how.
All right. Who, what, when, where, why,
and how.
Exactly. And then the next one is what? Yeshua. Where's Yeshua here? How do I see? He's the master key to unlock these texts. So you got to look for Jesus everywhere you are. All right. Then you go through the 4 levels. So we have now 4 levels of Hebrew study. All right. We're just in 10. The next step of 4. So don't be afraid of 15. Pashat was the literal plain reading of the text. 2. Remez, hint or allusion. That's where you're using your concordance when you study. Every word, phrase, idiom there. Don't read back our culture. Read it and find it out in the original. Next.
Drash,
perfect application to my life. How do I use this life application? Next, sod. S-O-D. That's not sod, people. That's sod. All right? That means deeper meaning. When Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I tell you a mystery. Right? The term mystery, musterion in the Greek, in Hebrew is sod. It means, behold, I tell you something deeper. There's a deeper meaning here. I'm telling it to you. It's being revealed. The veil is being taken away. You can see the deeper understanding now. It's being revealed. So there's a deeper meaning, and that's sod, and that's a much deeper level of study. But it is a typical level of study in Jewish studies, and that could be learned and applied to all things, people, in all areas of life. All right? Now, what's step 15? We have 14. There's one more. The 15th step, with all that you've learned so far, is to use it. All right? Because you've learned it all. You found out how to get all this information understood. 15th step, James 1:22. Really, Jacob 1:22, since Jacob is the Hebrew name for James, which is an English name. Don't be just hearers of the word, but be faithful doers of the word. God wants you to do it. He wants to see it. And those are your 15 steps. Yes, Danielle.
This is an important teaching because in the Bible it says, my people perish for lack of
the knowledge.
The knowledge.
In Hosea 4:6a.
It doesn't only say knowledge, it
exactly.
says the knowledge, referring to the book, the Bible.
Exactly.
So we need to know how to study it, how to learn.
Exactly, and that's what we're doing, learning how to learn. So we're learning right now. This is the how-to. Good point. That text in many of your Bibles, and this is with no disrespect intended, but the original gives it a different translation. The Hebrew literally says, as Danielle well pointed out, my people, God's talking to his own people, my people, we're not talking about unbelievers, we're talking about my people, my covenant people.
That was number one of the 15.
My people perish, exactly.
The
good
believers.
Point. My
wow.
people perish for lack of the knowledge. There's a specific body of knowledge, a corpus of knowledge God wants you to have, and we see that embodied within the Bible. Colossians 2:3 says, Jesus is the one in whom we're addressing here, meaning it says, in whom, the whom is Jesus, Yeshua, all right? Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. No, that's not what it says. Literally, if you look at an interlinear Bible, Hebrew, or Greek, it'll tell you in whom are hidden all the treasures of the wisdom and the knowledge, all right? Sometimes that sounds a little stilted in English, but that's what the original says, and that's what it should be, all right? The wisdom and the knowledge. So you want to find it, you'll find it in Yeshua. In the time remaining, I'm going to highlight an example I want you to study deeply. We can't do all the points. We'll see what we can do in Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19, walking through some of this here. Now, we're going to touch on the elements as well as possible in the time remaining. Our prayer is that instills you with the desire to go further. So read it, and then who is involved? Answer the question first, who? God, write down all the people listed. God, Abraham, his son, Isaac, 2 young men, a donkey, the angel of the Lord, a ram, his seed, and all the nations of the earth. Those are the who's involved, all right? Who, what? What's going on? God tested Nisa, Abraham, all right? Now, an interesting point about the term Nisa in Hebrew, tested, he tested is from Nisayon, Nisayon. The root of that, Nes, is the same word we have in the Bible for miracle. Interestingly enough, for the word test, that's the root of the word. And in Hebrew, the letters Nun, Samech, of the root of the word, literally mean, what is a test? It's that which is life-supporting. It supports life. It's life that supports. So when God gives you a test, you want it. It's life that supports you, builds you up, sustains you, all right? That kind of test you want. But we're used to man testing in its worst way. God testing will build you up. Now, why is this going on? God is obviously doing several things here. One is a test of Abraham to draw out of him the necessary response in this season to be able to acquire the blessing of God that God has for him and also for his children, and also through him to bless the whole world. That's what God wants, all right? The test has nothing to do, say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing to do with sickness or sadness or sin. Nothing. It has everything to do with giving you and through you what is necessary for you and a human race that is to be touched by you as a result of your time on earth. All right? So this test is really that which gives you life to support you. That's what the word root means. In relationship to God and your growth, a test will evidence what God has already placed inside of you and make it evident to you and through you to the world. Heaven and earth will bear witness to it, and hell will shudder because of it. For a son or daughter of God has demonstrated mastery over the world, the flesh, and the devil. The imperishable seed of the word of God in you will grow and unfold because God causes the increase. He's watching over his word to perform it. The test gives you life found in him who is life, that expresses that life which then supports the increase in you, to whom and through whom the blessing can now come and flow through. Now, remember, God gives you test people to pass, not pass out, all right? They're to help you stand, not fall, to establish you, not to annihilate you. So remember, learn the character of God, for the Lord is good, and his loving kindness, his loyal love is forever. Now, is forever a long time?
Long time.
A long time, right? When is it going on? When? That's one of our questions. In and during the life of Abraham, in Jewish history, as a patriarch about 2000 BC. Where is it occurring? Where Abraham lived, then it occurred in the land of Moriah, then back to Beersheba. How did it happen in the first place? It came as a result of God's divine providential will and Abraham's loving, obedient, proper response. Then you got to look at Yeshua, and if you study Remez carefully, I want you to look up every time you see the name Abraham and Yeshua, and you'll find Genesis 22:1-19 ties in with John 8:56-58, where Jesus himself mentions Abraham, and that so arrests your attention, you see that Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad," because Isaac represents with God a very important picture. Isaac represents Jesus. Abraham represents God the Father going up the mountain in agreement. Jesus carries the wood. Being brought to the sacrifice, a whole burnt offering. That gets you into the sacrificial system. You see God taking, or God telling Abraham to take his son, his only son. Jesus is the only son, and God is really speaking of the Father and the Son through real people here portrayed by Father Abraham and his son. You see the Messiah, and it continues on that you see the Messiah as the ram caught in the future. The ram is caught in the thicket representing the sin of the world. So you have Jesus, and I have to close in on this, people, there's so much more. Jesus is caught in the sin of the future, willingly giving his life up for us freely. All right? There's so much more. Please study it, and I pray that instills in you a desire to learn how to learn. Then we can understand the things of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.